قل يا أيها الناس إني رسول الله إليكم جميعا الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض لا إله إلا هو يحيي ويميت فآمنوا بالله ورسوله النبي الأمي الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته واتبعوه لعلكم تهتدون.
Say, O Muhammad, peace be upon him. O men, I am Allah's messenger to you all, of him to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. There is no God but he. He grants life and deals death. Have faith then in Allah and in his messenger, the Ummi prophet who believes in Allah and his words, and follow him so that you may be guided aright.
وَمِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَىٰ أُمَّةٌ يَهْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ وَبِهِ يَعْدِلُونَ.
Among the people of Moses, peace be upon him, there was a party who guided others in the way of the truth and established justice in its light.
Among the people of Moses, peace be upon him.
This marks the resumption of the main theme of the discourse, which had been interrupted by the parenthesis, see verses 157 to 8, calling people to affirm the prophethood of Muhammad, peace be upon him,
and establish justice in its light.
The translators generally render the verse as the following. Of the people of Moses, peace be upon him, there is a section who guide and do justice in the light of truth. Translation by Abdullah Yusuf Ali. They do so because, in their view, the present verse describes the moral and intellectual state of the Israelites at the time when the Quran was revealed. However, the context seems to indicate that the above account refers to the state of the Israelites at the time of the prophet Moses, peace be upon him. Thus, the purpose of the verse is to emphasize that even in the days of their calf worship, when God rebuked them, all members of Israel were not corrupt, that a sizable section of them was righteous.
وَقَطَّعْنَاهُمُ اثْنَتَيْ عَشْرَةَ أَسْبَاطًا أُمَمًا وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ إِذِ اسْتَسْقَاهُ قَوْمُهُ أَنِ اضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرَ فَانْبَجَسَتْ مِنْهُ اثْنَتَا عَشْرَةَ عَيْنًا قَدْ عَلِمَ كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ مَشْرَبَهُمْ وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الْغَمَامَ وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى كُلُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ.
And we divided them into 12 tribes, forming them into communities. When his people asked Moses for water, we directed him, "Smite the rock with your rod." Then 12 springs gushed forth from the rock, and every people knew their drinking places. And we caused thick clouds to provide them shade, and we sent down upon them manna and quails, saying, "Eat of the clean things that we have provided you." They wrong not us, but it was themselves that they wronged.
And we divided them into 12 tribes, forming them into communities.
This refers to the organization of the people of Israel, which has been mentioned in the Quran in Al-Ma'idah 5:12, and also described at length in the Bible in Numbers. According to these sources, in compliance with God's command, the prophet Moses, peace be upon him, first conducted the census of the Israelites in the wilderness of Sinai. He registered their 12 tribes, 10 of whom were descendants of the prophet Jacob, peace be upon him, and the remaining two descendants of the prophet Joseph, peace be upon him, as separate and distinct tribes. He appointed a chief for each tribe and assigned to him the duty to maintain moral, religious, social, and military discipline within each tribe and to enforce the law. The Levites, who were descendants of the prophets Moses and Aaron, peace be upon them, however, were organized as a distinct group entrusted with the task of providing religious guidance to all tribes.
And sent down upon them manna and quail, saying,
This organization was one of the numerous favors which God had bestowed upon the Israelites. Mention is made of three other favors bestowed upon them. First, an extraordinary arrangement for their water supply was made in the otherwise arid Sinai Peninsula. Second, the sky was covered with clouds such that they were protected from the scorching heat of the sun. Third, a unique meal consisting of manna and quails was sent down on them. Had this divine arrangement, catering as it did for the millions of wandering Israelites' basic necessities of life, not been made, they would certainly have perished. On visiting that land even today, it is difficult to visualize how such an arrangement providing shelter, food, and water for millions of people was made. The population of this peninsula stands even today at a paltry 55,000 people. It may be noted that this statement was made in the 50s of the present century. However, the present population of the Sinai is 200,000. If a 500,000 or 600,000 strong army were to camp there today, it would be quite a task for those at the helm to provide the necessary supplies for the army. Little wonder then that many scholars who believe neither in the scripture nor in miracles rule out the historical accuracy of the event. For them, the people of Israel camped in an area lying south of Palestine and north of Arabia. In view of the physical and economic geography of the Sinai Peninsula, they consider it totally incredible that such a large population could have stayed there for years. What has made these scholars even more skeptical about the event is the fact that the Israelites were not then in a position to procure supplies from either the Egyptians or the Amalekites, who inhabited respectively the eastern and northern parts of the peninsula, since both groups were hostile to them. It is against this background that one may appreciate the immense importance of the favors God conferred on the Israelites. Likewise, it also gives one some idea of the blatant ingratitude of the people of Israel, since they consistently defied and betrayed God, even though they had witnessed a great many divine signs.
وَإِذْ قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْكُنُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ وَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطِيئَاتِكُمْ سَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ
And recall when it was said to them, Dwell in this town and eat plentifully of whatever you please, and say, Repentance, and enter the gate prostrate. We shall forgive you your sins and shall bestow further favors on those who do good.
And recall,
this alludes to their constant defiance and rebellion in face of God's favors, which eventually brought about their destruction.
فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِجْزًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَظْلِمُونَ
Then the wrongdoers among them substituted another word in place of the one told them. So we sent upon them a scourge from the heaven as a punishment for their wrongdoing.
So we sent upon them a scourge from the sky as a punishment for their wrongdoing.
For details, see Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 1, Al-Baqarah 2, Notes 74-5, 76-7.